Do we have kids today for children's church? You're dismissed if there are. I'm not sure. We might have some. All right. Up through fifth grade are dismissed to go to church. I know we've got some that are not with us today, but are normally a part of that. But we pray that they are safe and well and in a time of blessing under the hand of God. Kids are important. You know that? In fact, the kids on Wednesday night are just, they're keeping me on my toes. They're teaching me things. Now, I'm there to teach them in Kids Club, Kingdom Kids, but they're actually teaching me. They're helping me to get sharper and learn some things along the way. In fact, two or three weeks ago, I was trying to introduce them to the idea of Engage 22, that's our theme for the year. And so I said, yeah, and I gave them a little gift with the word engage on it and was trying to explain it to them as best I could. And right off the bat, one of the kids says, "You mean engage like when people are going to get married?" And I said, No, it's different. A different engage than that. And I just tried to explain, you know, about interacting and, you know. But then just recently, that never left my mind. And I've been thinking about it, and I thought, now, wait a minute. Maybe it is like being engaged to someone to get married. Because the Bible speaks of the body of believers as the bride of Christ and refers to Jesus Christ as the coming groom. I'm like, yeah, it does fit. It fits because during a period of engagement, there are things that are supposed to be happening. Okay? One is you're getting to know each other better. To know that if you can live with that other person or not. You don't live with them ahead of time, but you begin to study them and get to know them better and interact. This engagement is an interaction time, getting to know, understanding the other person's perspective on life. And it's a preparation for the time coming to be together. It's also a time of planning, where the bridal party is setting everything up, getting everything taken care of, preparing for this union. And isn't that our job right now, to prepare for the union between us and Christ, to be together forevermore? And I thought about all the parallels. I'm like, yeah, I didn't give her the right answer. You're right. It is a lot like that, where we are encountering and experiencing things and preparing and getting to know, and all of that's happening between us and God when we are engaging him and his ministry. Yes. So with that thought in mind, I'm going to have you help me this morning. Now, because of we're on live Facebook, and then it's also recorded there for people to watch later, they can't hear you when you're talking out here. So you're going to be the mic runner, okay? Right. Stand up, get ready, get in position. All right, there you go. Right, a runner in the race races to win, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Just checking. So I want to know this morning, you help me out, what does engaging with God look like? Let's think for just a minute. What does engaging with God actually look like? So you just slip up a hand and our limber young mic runner there. Here we go. What does it look like to engage God? Oh, check your switch on the bottom. I might have turned it off. It's red? Okay. There we go. I don't know.
All is prayer.
the Holy Spirit was in us once you've accepted Jesus Christ. And if you listen to that Spirit, He prevents you from many things that you wouldn't even know of if you're listening to the Spirit. When He nudges you, you need to listen to Him. That's engaging with Him. That's having fellowship with Him. And when He brings somebody to mind, you pray for that person. You have fellowship with that person. You draw on to Jesus because Jesus is the answer. He is an awesome God. He cares about each and every one of us here. And He is more willing. We hinder ourselves when we do not go to Him, when we do not seek Him, when we do not go up to the altar and ask for forgiveness. He is willing. We, as a body, are weak, but He is strong. So we remember that. So when He urges you and you have fellowship with Him, you do what He asked you to do. Doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It's what God thinks. Because He is the all in all. He is my all in all.
Okay. So you're indicating today, Diane, that God does reveal things to us if we're listening and paying attention. And when we respond to that revealing, we are engaging with Him. Very good. I like that. Who's next? What does it look like to engage with God? Ken.
In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. We must engage Him in His Word.
Okay.
And trust His Word.
Yes, agreed. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is useful, beneficial to our lives, and it's from Him. So we engage Him. Yeah, all the way to the back again. Nate, come on, Nate. Get your exercise today.
Engaging it to me is praying and getting back in the Bible. And Pastor knows last week I had a rough week, and I have been engaging with God this week.
Yes.
And I praise Him so much.
Yes.
And I thank Him.
Yeah. It's interesting, when we have difficult times in our life, we hopefully, if you're a believer, you reach out even more to God. Now, some people unfortunately pull back from God and just continue in that wandering. But for the true believer, when we have, not if, when we have difficult times, we intentionally seek Him more. Yeah. Anybody else? What does it look like to engage God? Jim. Jim, you're loud. Go ahead. No offense intended.
When we engage with God, we've finally got our program up here right. And if we don't stay on that program, we'll be going down a bad path.
Yes. Set your minds on things above.
Yes.
Scriptural. Think on such things that are pleasant and good and righteous. Yeah. Very good. You can't keep it. Okay, there you go. Anybody else? What does it look like to engage with God?
Even when you're angry with God, you have to engage Him because He understands that anger. He understands that frustration. And I speak of that because I just went through that. I don't want surgery on my neck. But it's His will. And that's what I finally had to go through, all the frustration and all the anger, and engage Him in saying, okay, whatever you want, however you want to heal me, and however that looks.
Yeah, sometimes engaging with God means we're going to wrestle with Him a bit. And He's okay with that. We can be real with God and wrestle with Him, knowing, of course, that He will have the ultimate answer. Yes. Now, arguing is a different thing than wrestling. So, all right, anybody else? Thank you for those responses. We have been spending time talking about engaging with God. And then we took a couple of weeks off. We did Sanctity of Human Life, which all is engaging with God too. But and then last week we had Valentine's weekend. We talked about how to love over the long haul and all that. So I want to get back to a little bit of this engagement with God. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, one of my favorite passages. I've used it before, so don't be shocked that I'm there again. There's so much to gain from the Word. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to start with the first two verses. Therefore, okay, whenever you see a therefore, there's something a-coming, right? Therefore, and he's been teaching them, showing them God's ways. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, we'll pause there. You can keep your Bibles to chapter 12 because we're going to go back to it in a few moments. But right there is enough instruction to keep our minds and our bodies and our spirit busy for the kingdom of God for a long, long time. If we concentrate on that urging. So the Apostle Paul in this particular translation uses the word, I urge you. And when Paul says, I urge you, you know something's coming. Therefore, I urge you, oh boy. And then he says, he talks about a dedication of life and soul to him. So this idea of engaging him begins with a surrender. It begins with a giving away of ourselves. Until we give ourselves away to God, we will never have engagement with him. Okay? So we can't move on in this yearly theme of how to engage family, how to engage our neighbor, how to engage our workplace, how to engage our church, how to engage our community until we get engaging God right. Okay? That has to be first. That's why we're spending time here. Before we move on, we have to have a spirit of giving ourselves away and a literal way of doing that. So how do we engage him based on this sacrifice that God, through the Apostle Paul, is calling us to? I'd like to suggest five ways. So if you're a note taker, you're going to have 5 points. All right. I won't spend equal amount of time on every one of them, but they're all significant in our engagement or our connection, our involvement, our partnership, our hearing, our knowing, our doing, that interaction between God and us where He is real to us. Not just a fairy tale, not just an historical figure, not just some cosmic force that somehow might move in our lives if we're lucky. No, this is a real God with a real presence that He wants us to engage with Him. So first of all, we engage Him by, and there's a significant word here, intentionally seeking Him. Intentionally seeking after Him. Now, unless we're intentional about anything we do in life, it won't get done. Are you with me? How many of you have a honey-do list at home? Okay? Yeah? Some of them are literal, some of them are implied, right? And boy, the implied ones are hard to figure out. You should have known that I wanted that done, honey. Why didn't you know that? You know, okay, so, but whatever it is, we have this list of things that do. Maybe you have your own list of things you want to get accomplished, and you know it would be good, and you know it would be profitable, and you know you'd feel better if you did them, but somehow, some way, they're not getting done. You know why? Because you're not intentional enough. It's not that you don't have time. Quit using that excuse. If you're, you know, we don't, just don't go there. It's not that we don't have time. It's not that we don't have know-how. Okay? We've got the time. We've got the know-how. What's missing is the will to do it. Right? The intentionality. The same is true in our spiritual journey. We know that serving God is good. We know that loving God is good. We know that participating in kingdom purposes. We know that being a witness. We know that all of these things are good in our life and should be present if we call ourselves Christians. But too many times we're neglecting what we know is good. Our intentionality gets sidetracked. Oh, by the way, there's a lot of things in our lives and in our world that can sidetrack us from what's most important. Now, here's what we do with our list sometimes. So let's say you've got that to-do list. And you're looking at it, and some of those to-dos are easier than others. This one's going to take a lot more energy and effort than this one. But I want to mark something off of my list. So which one are you going to do in order to mark it off your list? The easiest one. Yeah. And then you can kind of pat yourself on the back. Say, way to go. You knocked something off the list. Yeah, but it was the easiest one on the list. And we keep putting off those ones that are going to take more effort, more energy, more resources, and we aren't planning for it. We aren't engaging the harder stuff on the list because we haven't gotten that intentional yet. Same thing happens in our spiritual journey. Yeah. You have to get hungry enough and thirsty enough. Because Jesus said this in his great Sermon on the Mount. He said, those that hunger and thirst, in other words, you really want it. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're the ones that are going to get filled. Yeah. So we have a lot of half empty or half full, depending on which side you're on. You know what I'm talking about. Depending on which side, we've got a lot of half empty or half full people and walking in and through and along with our churches. And what we need is people filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. But we won't get there unless we become intentional and say, God, make me so thirsty, make me so hungry that I can't help but seek you. I can't. So I'm not in seeking mode right now. You might be feeling that. I just haven't been in seeking mode, like seeking the righteousness and the holiness of God. I haven't been seeking His purposes and His will in my life. I've just kind of been just rolling along half full or half empty. I'm not really in seek mode. And I know that. You know that when that's happening. So if all we can do is say, God, make me so hungry and so thirsty that I can't help but seek you, then go there. Start there. Seek God. The psalmist was intentional. This is what he said. Find my spot. I will seek you with all my heart. I will. Not only is he intentional, but he's determined, isn't he? I will. Now, hopefully, and I know that sometimes we forget things, and sometimes we have interruptions in our lives, but hopefully when we say, I will, that we will carry through with that statement. Now, I have to confess, I've missed the mark sometimes. But the psalmist here is indicating that my word is going to carry me through to get this done. I will seek you with all my heart. Intentional. And engaged, if you will, in the task. So when should we seek God? Good answers, but I got a better one. Right now. Yeah, right now. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, whatever it is that life is doing with you right now, seek God. I will seek you with all of my heart. How do we do that? Well, we cry out to Him. We cry out to Him. We might need to surrender something. We might need to take something out of our lives and lay it at the foot of the cross. We might have to take on something. When we seek God and He reveals something to us, then we need to embrace it and take it on. That's part of the seeking process. We call out to Him. We submit to Him. We bow before Him. Maybe even fall flat on our face before Him. Maybe we will wrestle with Him in this seeking. Like Jacob, when the angel came and Jacob wrestled with the angel and he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Yeah, that's a real seeking after God's presence, isn't it? Yeah, so when? Right now. How? How can come in so many different forms. But we cry out to Him. Yes. Number two, for our note takers, we have to intentionally love Him. Now, in your household, does everyone in your household always feel loving? You know, the kind, considerate, thoughtful, giving, all those 1 Corinthians 13 attributes. Does everybody in your household always feel that? No, of course not. Life's got too many up and downs to, our emotions are messed up. Okay? So we aren't always feeling love, but we should be always doing love. There's a difference. We intentionally love Him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. I didn't see anything in there about emotions. There's a determination that I choose to love God. And that love will demonstrate itself in how I do life, right? We're going to talk about that a little bit later in Romans chapter 12 there. How we do life will show whether we love Him or we don't love Him. Yeah. So when should we intentionally love Him? Yeah, thank you, Diana. Yeah, all good answers, but the better one is right now. Yeah. Make that decision. Make that move to love Him right now. How do we do it? By how we live our life. What we proclaim with our lips. What we feed on will demonstrate if we love Him. Okay, number three. I have to... guess what the first word is? Yeah, there we go. I have to intentionally serve Him. Yeah. So that sounds like it's going to require something of me, doesn't it? I think serving is good, but you know, it's like I told a guy yesterday who was, we were down at Upward Basketball and the guy was sweeping the floor and I said, I just love work. I could watch you do it all day long. Yeah, so here we are in this. It's going to require something of me to intentionally serve Him. And I'll tell you what, When I knew I was going to have to take over children's ministry on Wednesday night, I was not a happy camper. I was like, oh, man, nobody, you know. And I was whining and internally. I'll tell you what, I've got the most blessing out of serving in that way. That, why? Because I knew it needed done and I decided to do it. Rather than let it die. You wrestle a little bit in that seeking God, and you know you got to do something, and your insides are telling you, I don't really want to. Wow, there is blessing. There is connection with God. I walk out of Wednesday nights with kids, tired for one thing. Secondly, feeling and acknowledging and walking with God better than I did the rest of the day. Yeah, so sometimes that intentional thing has to kick in where we serve Him. When should we serve Him? We're getting this now. Yeah. How about right now? You can find a way to serve Him yet today. You could find a way to serve Him in new venues, new ways. You could go out on a limb and say, I'll try this, or I'll go there. Or I'll participate in, or simply you might need to give a glass of cold, fresh water in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You might need to serve somebody. You might need to make them a dish to eat. You might need to go to the store for them. You might need to, who knows? You know how many needs there are that we could meet? If we just got intentional in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Don't just serve. Serve in the name of Jesus. Yeah, and then we begin to engage Him. So number four. Keeping up? We need to, if we're going to engage God, we need to intentionally obey Him. Yeah, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, and now I'm going to obey. How's that for theology? Yeah, if He said it, it's good enough for me, I'll walk in it. I'll do it. I'll follow. I will do whatever He asks of me. If you want to know what God wants you to obey, start reading. Okay? And you will find how it is that He wants you to live and participate in. And we can obey Him. The psalmist, again, in that same psalm I quoted before, 119. I will keep your law and day. Let me start over. I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. He's kind of on a roll here, isn't he? I will love the Lord thy God with all my heart. I will obey the commands of my God with all my heart. Boy, this guy's intentional. He had some rough spots in his life. That's why he had to declare what his intentions were. Yeah. Because if I pay attention to this rough road I'm going down, if I pay attention to my enemies that want to oppose me, if I pay attention to the things that are stumbling blocks in my life, I'm never going to make it. I've got to focus on my God. Intentionally submit my will to Him. Oh, I've got to obey them. So what do you think? When should we obey?
Now.
Yeah, right. Right now and forevermore, right? So when God does this thing we talked about this morning, when He reveals truth, when truth comes to your heart and mind, do you know that's from God? All truth is from God. It's not from the enemy. He's full of lies. It's not from the world. It's lost. Any bit of truth about doing life and how is from God. It's only His truth that will set us free. Right? So we must obey Him. He knows what's right. He knows what's appropriate. Now, so when God reveals to us, that's where I was at, when God reveals to us a truth, it's in accordance with His Word, it's truth. It's in accordance with His character, it's truth. When He reveals that to us, suddenly we have to make a choice. Any bit of truth that comes to you, you have to deal with. It's been given from the throne of God, and now it's in our court. You want to engage with God? Obey Him. Obey His truth. Yeah, and He pours out blessing. And He pours out help. And He pours out wisdom. And He pours out ability. And He gives whatever you need to do what He calls you to do. And to be who He wants you to be. So He never asks us to be or do something that He will not enable us for. So if He says, go and sin no more, that's exactly what He means, and He will provide a way out of temptation. Are you listening to Him? Are you looking to Him, listening to Him, paying attention? The scriptural. Whatever temptation comes our way, in the negative sense, whatever temptation, He will provide a way out. So do you know why people give in to temptation? They're not intentional about His way out. They're not listening. They're not looking. That's why people give in to temptation. It's not because they can't. God is willing to provide. So we need to be willing to obey. We get what we need when we obey. You say, I don't know how I could ever do that. If God said do it or don't do it, don't worry about whether you can or can't. Just do it. Then He brings the grace, the mercy, the strength, the wisdom, the help that you need. Just like when they were in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were in motion across the desert, leaving Egypt. And they came to the Red Sea. Here's an army behind us. There's mountains all around us. And there's only one way out of this thing, and that's to cross the Red Sea. But how in the world are they going to do it? Tell the people to get ready to cross. Wait a minute. We don't have any boats. How are we going to get our supplies, everything we've got on, to whatever it is we're going to go across on? I don't see any answers to this at all. And you want us to get ready to cross? So He said to the priests carrying the ark, go to the river's edge and step in. We're carrying this heavy ark, the holy presence of God, and you're telling us that we're going to cross, but I have to step in the water first. Yep. As soon as they stepped in, a way was made. A way was made. Not only did the sea part, and I get these two stories mixed up about the Red Sea and the Jordan River, but it was dry. Yeah, when they were ready, when they needed to go. So forgive me if I got the river and the sea mixed up, because there were different circumstances on each one. But one of those, He said, step into the water. Step in. Yeah. Five. You wondered if I was going to get there, didn't you? If we're going to engage God, have a connection with God, have an intimacy with God, have a relationship with God, then we're going to have to intentionally trust Him. Yep. I'm scared. Okay. I'm worried. Okay. I am questioning. Okay. Just in the midst of all of those feelings you've got, choose trust. If you're feeling worried, choose trust. If you're feeling scared, choose trust. If you're feeling doubtful, choose trust. Yeah. Otherwise, there's this gap and we're not engaging God because God honors faith. Faith is trusting in Him that He will do what He says and be who He is. Yeah. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Yeah, a way in the desert, if you will. So I was just wondering, this trusting, a decision of the will, a surrender of the fear, if you will. When should we start that? You mean like even before I leave this sanctuary? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody here, I'm just curious, anybody here like to watch the show Monk? Yeah. doesn't it drive you crazy? Now, I can relate a little bit because I came out of clinical OCD several years ago. And so I wasn't Monk, but when I watch him, he's driving me crazy now. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me with some of his ways. And even though it's a show, there are people with so significant a set of fears within them that they do kind of withdraw from life out of fear. And it's in those moments we say, no. No. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. You will not gain 1 hour from your worry. Do not. Well, how do I not worry? How do I not fear? How do I not doubt? God, I'm going to believe you for this. God, I'm going to walk the way I need to walk and let you take care of the rest. God, I'm going to trust you. And to prove that I'm going to trust you, I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to look back anymore. I'm not going to look at all that could trip me up. I'm going to move forward with my eyes on you. That's an intentionality, isn't it? It doesn't come natural. It comes intentionally. By the act of our will. So, when should we do that? Now. How? Just like I described. You see, all these five things all blend together, don't they? In engaging God. So, intentionality and dependence on His power. Dependence on His power. I've never walked that way before. That's okay. I've never tried to do life in that direction. It's okay. I've never surrendered these things before. You'll be all right. You'll be okay. If you're engaging God. Yeah, I wouldn't suggest doing these things on your own. Trying to manage life on your own. It rarely works. So we walk in His direction. So I'm going to ask a couple of ushers to begin passing out those little booklets that I gave you. And don't try to read them, just hold them, okay? Just hold on to them. I'll explain. But we want every person in here who's able to see and read and think and move, that would be all of us, right? To get one of these. Because if we're going to be intentional, if you want to become intentional on engaging God, we're going to have some tools. We're going to have something to prod us and push us. You know, listen, folks. There's some things we just won't get done unless somebody puts their thumb in our back. Are you with me? Yeah. So here's my thumb. Coming. All right? No, I can't make you do anything. But I want to encourage you to get intentional about some things. To become that new creation that God says He wants to make in you. No, it's not just a matter of Him saving us. It's a matter of Him recreating us. From our minds, our soul, our spirit, our being. He doesn't just save, He transforms. Now you're already breaking the rules. Just like Wednesday nights. You know, when God created the world, He only had one little old rule. Yeah. Don't eat of that tree. Just one. Just one rule. They were in paradise. Only one rule to follow. And involved trust. Nope, they couldn't do it. Just like you. Okay. So, here's my point. It is easier to not engage God. You know, we don't have to think. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to seek. We don't have to love. We don't have to do any of those five things I talked about today. We don't have to do those. So, yeah, it's easier to just not engage. Let's face it. It would be easier to go home after this sermon and do nothing. That would be the easy way. But it would be a very unfruitful life. It's easier to be our own boss, right? It's easier to be our own decision maker, do our own thing, go our own way, and then the only person that I have to think about is me. That's the easy way. But when I live for someone else, that's a different story. That requires something of me. Okay, so when I was a single man, I lived a certain way. But when I got married, I couldn't live that way anymore. And when we were married, we established routines of how we do life. But when we had kids, we couldn't follow those old ways anymore. And now that we're getting older and we have grandkids, that changes the picture a bit too. You know what I'm saying? We have to learn to not be living unto ourself alone. When we are engaged to somebody, we have to perform differently now. For some reason, when we got engaged, my fiancé didn't want me to see any other women. Go figure. Yeah? It's easier to do it myself, to be my own. But I tell you, it is so unfruitful, it is so lonely, that it leads to despair, it leads to discouragement, it leads to living a life that is just mundane and purposeless. Unless we're living for someone else, and the person I'm talking about is our Lord. When we live for Him, it changes things. So, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, if you have something to write on, I don't have any time left to do this, but I wanted to read Romans 12, verse 11 through 21. Romans 12, 11 through 21. I'd like to encourage you to do this. Take that and go home this afternoon at some point and read it and contemplate it and say, how does this go along with this idea of engaging God? Do these things matter to my engaging God? All right, that's a study you can do on your own. The booklets are a challenge. I'm challenging you to 6 weeks of intentionally engaging God. It's not just reading. There's stuff in here to do, all right, along with reading. So you're going to have to make time if you're going to take this challenge. You're going to have to make the time. You're going to have to carve it out and say, this is my time to concentrate on this engagement process. You know, after 6 weeks, hopefully, we'll have a new understanding of God's presence in our life. So on the page 2, right, just as you open it up there, here's the overview. See if these sound familiar. Seeking after God, loving God, serving God, obeying God, trusting God, and keeping on track is the number 6. How to be friends with God. Notice all of the goals. The goal of each week is listed there. So the note down in mid-page, remember that as you move on to a new week, you keep the previous week processes alive. I know. Like, see, just throw it up in the air. Too hard. It's on my to-do list somewhere, but I'm going to do something easier first. No. So you're going to have a Bible and a concordance and a notebook and a pencil and eraser, a highlighter, a dictionary, and probably a thesaurus. Okay? You feel like you're back in school? Yeah, you are. We are. This isn't just a challenge to you. This is a challenge to me, too. Okay? By the time we get to the end, the very last page, I don't think, if you take this seriously, if you really adopt it and embrace it and do it and keep building each week more and more, probably you're not going to have enough room on the last page. The personal evaluation. What benefits did you gain by engaging with God in these particular ways over the past 6 weeks? Now again, I can't make anybody do this, nor would I. But I dare you. I'm going to have to quit now. It's a sign from God. I challenge you that if you want to take this whole idea of engaging the kingdom of God seriously, make it happen. Be intentional about it. This is just one tool. There's other tools out there. And you can find them. And if you don't like this one, that's okay. Find another one. Are you with me? Don't just say, nah. Find another one. I don't care. Let God speak and move upon us. Well, who ever heard of going to church and getting homework? Huh? Tell you. Let's bow our heads. Oh, God. This is sounding harder all the time. But you never call us to be or do something that you don't provide the means to be or do. So take this challenge and you work it in us, I pray. And may this year, 2022, be the best year yet in our journey with you, I pray. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless and go in peace. Amen. And do your homework, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.